The only people who use those terms are Sahajiyas. Those terms, those two words that way, they're never used by Rupa Goswami, by Kaviraj Goswami, by Saraswati Thakur, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by Guru Maharaj, by Gurudev. So this is the problem, is that we want to hear about things that are not relevant to us, that are beyond our adhikar capacity. So Srila Saraswati Thakur wrote in his Prakrita Rasa Shatadushini, the 100 faults of Sahajiyaism, modeled after Madhvacharya's Mayavad Shatadushi, 100 faults of Mayavad. There are innumerable, just as with Sahajiyaism, there are innumerable faults, but he points out 100 principal ones. Some are that, he says, that actual devotees in the Rupa Nuga line, they do not give instructions to those which is beyond their adhikar, their capacity. So to want to discuss these things, what is the purpose? Srila Guru Maharaj Sutant would fold his hands, bow his head, and describe these as high talks coming from a low place, or high talks coming from the mean mouth. He mentions repeatedly that passport is not sufficient to enter that domain. Visa is necessary. Right? Passport is the general thing. Like the famous Bhagavatam sloka, Aruhya Krishchena Param Padam Tatak Patanti Adho Anadrita Jasmad Angraya. They leave the gravitational pull of the mundane world, approach the outskirts of the spiritual world, but again have to come down, right? Neglecting the lotus feet of Krishna, not taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, not recognizing that the plane we're attempting to enter is seva mayoyam loka. So only out of a service necessity can we enter there. Only out of service necessity can we move in that plane. Right? It is not imaginary. It is not wishful thinking. It is not pretty pictures. It is reality. Guru Maharaj once chastened some devotees, saying, when he asked them, let me ask you a question, what is Krishna consciousness? And they gave a variety of nebulous answers, to which Srila Guru Maharaj said, it is reality, and it's in your interest to acquaint yourself with this reality. Right? So, it is a question, in the famous sloka in the Bhagavatam, Vikriditam Brajabadu Biridam Javishnu Sradhanvato Anushranaya Dattavarna Yedyak. How is this being presented by our Guru Varga? That is all important. Not just to get information or data. It's not data transfer or information transfer. But as indicated in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Hrida, a heart-to-heart transaction. So from the heart of the Guru Varga into the heart of the Shisha, then we can get something substantial. Not out of curiosity. As Guru Maharaj mentioned, if we say visa is what is required, then in our visa application, we want to know what are the state secrets of the country that we seek admission to. We want to know all the intimate details, their secret service, how everything secret about that place. Then naturally, we won't be looked upon favorably. Right? We're seeking admittance on the most general, basic level, and already we want to know very confidential, intimate things. that will not be looked upon favorably. Right? If it is seva mayoyam loka, the world of service, then they're giving admittance to those who aspire to serve. The visa comes not, it's already understood our desire to enter. That's a given. But the visa is granted when that country we seek admission to determines that it's in their entrance to give you admission. Right? So Guru Maharaj uses the expression, deserve then desire. And he counsels, he recommends modest natural growth, not artificial ripening. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you don't climb the tree to get the fruits, then what will you get? So all these things are sacrosanct. They are super sacred. And if they are not approached in the most cautious way, they're likely to be misunderstood, misinterpreted. Guru Maharaj said, we're having difficulty distinguishing between the mind and the intellect. Right? But then we want to know the fine details of the Paramatma world, of the super, super subjective world. That, it won't be helpful to us. We need to proceed very, very cautiously. So whenever Srila Guru Maharaj said anything about these matters, it was with, you know, as he would quote the motto of Saraswati Thakur, Pujala Ragapat Gaurababange Matala Sarujana Bishayarange. That, what you're talking about, that's Ragamarg, the Ragamarg world. How the Ragamarg world operates. Right? And who's who in the Ragamarg world. Right? It's like Siddha Pranali. Guru Maharaj mentioned quite simply, it's a practice for who? Siddhas. We say, well, it says this, it says that. Yes, and who is it meant for? It's meant for Siddha, those who have already achieved a certain level of perfection, because it's a dynamic substance, growing, developing, demanding. Still, advice is given. When I asked Srila Guru Maharaj, I said, we hear from you, we've heard from Srila Prabhupada, that the confidential literature of Rupa Goswami and others, that Srila Saraswati Thakur forbid his followers from reading these things. So I said, well, two things come to mind. One is, then who are they written for? Number two, I said, you and Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, you're disciples of Saraswati Thakur. So are you telling me you can't read them either? So Guru Maharaj's answer is very interesting. He said, you should not adopt an atheistic position. And I was thinking, what? Atheism, what does he mean? And what he meant was, oh, this life is all in all. So if you don't get access to these things at this time, it's forever out of your reach? He said, no. If you understand or subscribe to the most basic understanding of, you know, Atmagyan, the eternality of the soul, then you can understand when this is like students, parokshavada bedo yam balanam anushasanam, they're given textbook, subject matter, teachings that are appropriate to their grade. That's another meaning of adhikar, is grade, what your level is. I remember when my eldest brother, who's 8 years older than me, came back from his first year at college. That means he was like 18, I was 10. You know, he had a book. It said something like, Introduction to Philosophy. So I said, naively, I said, what is philosophy? And then, I mean, he's not known to be a great philosopher, but he said, oh, he started telling me some things. Like they say, being is. So it's like very Tao, like being is. Zen, Tao, you know. Or he said, they describe how people address God by different names and different understandings. Anyway, I thought, oh, let me try and read this book. So I got the book, and I couldn't understand any of it. I was 10, he was 18, and it was just a simple thing, Introduction to Philosophy. But although I had some interest to understand these things, it was premature for me to approach them. So by looking at it, the only result was confusion. Right? So when it comes to understanding spiritual substance, you have to understand, what is the beginning point? Comes out when Guru Maharaj is challenged in Karachi. He's giving a lecture. And someone says from the audience, if the infinite can be known by the finite, it's not infinite. And Guru Maharaj's immediate answer, if the infinite cannot make himself known to the finite, he's not infinite. Therein lies the prospect of theistic culture. The infinite can make itself known to the finite. That's an extraordinary and a wonderful thing. To accept that possibility allows one to engage in the culture of faith. As Guru Maharaj mentions in the beginning of Sri Guru and His Grace in the intro, to err is human. To error is inevitable for all of us, being not perfect. Right? These are commonly known things. But then he draws our attention to another point. He said, still, there is an element within us that seeks perfection. Right? Although we acknowledge we're imperfect, to error is human, it's inevitable for everybody, we do it every day. Still, it's curious, it's interesting that there's an element in us that seeks perfection, that seeks the ideal, ideal form, ideal love, ideal beauty, ideal. We're always in search of an ideal, even though we know that it's more or less impossible to achieve. Is that verse? Is that about Krishna Prem, Jambu Nadahim, it's like the gold of heaven, gold in the rivers of heaven. It's not a thing of this world. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. What is this world? It's the world of misconception. It's the objective world. It's the world of exploitation. It's saying it's not a thing of this world. If all we are have experienced is the objective world, exploitation and misconception, then when we come in connection with Krishna consciousness and we try to envision or speculate about the name of Krishna, the form of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, the devotees of Krishna, the divine loving relationships of Krishna and his devotees, it'll all be based upon what we've seen here. And we'll think it's something like that. That's why if you look at the Krishna book, the book of Krishna, the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's 12 cantos, right? Roughly 18,000 slokas. 10 cantos, or 9 cantos, precede the 10th canto. 9 cantos of discussions of sages on different parts of the universe and different kalpas, different creations. The most super qualified spiritual personalities have deeply philosophical discussions. And this is the prerequisite before you even hear about the birth of Krishna, of baby Krishna. What to speak of his, those pastimes are with his parents, his boyhood pastimes with the cowherd boys, then later the Kishore Leela with the gopis. So before you get to all that, if we think about 10 cantos, I don't know the exact number, but we can say something like, let's just say, 14,000 slokas before you get to even the birth of Krishna. Some little summary of his pastimes here and there. Why? Why is that? Because we're likely to misunderstand. If we hear, Krishna is this age, Radharani is that age, their friends and assistants are like this, they'll think, oh, like we see here. Says Krishna Rajateka Kela Sarvatam Nara Leela Nara Vapu Tahara Swarup Gopa Vesh Venu Kar Navakishore Natabar Nara Leela Hoy Anurup. We're told the human-like pastimes of Krishna are perfect to express this Aprakrita Leela. Aprakrita is a very interesting word. Prakrita means mundane, as I said, Prakrita Sahajyasam. There's also pure sahajya, sahaja, sahaj. That's what is natural, like raga marg, etc. But we're told, pujala ragavat gauravat, that we keep above is worshipable in the other world. If we try to bring it down here, it contaminates. Any, what did I say before that? Prakrita. So, but it's interesting, Krishna's pastimes, they're called aprakrita. Means, so the word they used, aprakrita, means like mundane, but not. Very similar, but not. Krishna, Prem, what is it, Nirmala Bhaskar, Undatama, one is, as Guru Maharaj said, the difference between the North Pole and the South Pole. We can say, oh, North Pole and South Pole, they're very similar, but they're at opposite ends of the spectrum. So the Aprakrita Leela of Krishna is the highest aspect. That's the super, super subjective world, above even the Vaikuntha world, right? Above Dwaraka, Ayodhya, and Vaikuntha, is that plane of Krishna. Right? And what's at the bottom end of the spectrum is the mundane relationship between men and women of this world. Right? That's why so much caution is given. What is the nature of that plane? Sometimes we speak of the expansion and contraction of time and space. Right? And we wonder, how are all these things possible? Right, achintya kaluye bhavas natangs tartena tarkena yojayet. What is inconceivable, achintya, is not a subject of argument. We're living in the realm of time and space. So then we hear of a world that's not under the influence of time and space. There's no time and space as we conventionally think about it. So to apply all these projections about, well, how could so many cows or cowherd boys fit in the... is all foolish. There's no space there as we think of it. There's no time. As it mentioned in the Upanishad, there's no time. There's no night or day, but there's night and day. There's no need for night and day, but there's night and day. There's no need for a moon, but there's a moon, so there's moonlight. There's no need for these things, but as part of the Nitya Leela of Krishna, they become paraphernalia or parts of the pastimes, and they're pervertedly reflected into this plane. That is what needs to be at the basis of our understanding anytime we approach trying to understand the upper world. And with the confidence that whatever needs to be known by me. In the words of Srila Guru Maharaj, we are under the ever watchful eye of Yogamaya. Yogamaya is aware of all the needs of the different servitors. Yogamaya is aware of all the seva needs. So Yogamaya can cast the servitors who are participating in any pastimes on any level, and also supply them the necessities for their seva. So our interest, it lies in being a sincere servitor, having a sincere service aspiration. If we can maintain that, if it is genuine and real, earnest, then all the necessities for our seva will be supplied to us, including the intimate details necessary of any particular service. Right? So Uddhava, who is intimately acquainted with the queens of Dwaraka and Mathura, when Krishna sends Uddhava to Vrindavan with a message for the Braja Gopis, having observed their devotional qualities, he concludes by saying, Asamaho Choranarenu Jushama Hungshang Brindavane Kimapi Gumilato Sadinam Yadushtajam Swajanam Arja Patam Chihitva Bejur Mukunda Parivim Shruti Bir Vimrigyam. This is, think of this carefully. He's Uddhava, right? Na the sloka. Tata Priyatama Atmayonir Nishankara Na Cha Sankarsana Nasri Naivatma Cha Yatabhavan. Krishna himself says there's no one more dear to me than Uddhava. Not Brahma, not Shiva, not Sankarsan, not Lakshmi. Right. So that Uddhava, when he visits Vrindavan and observes Radharani and the Braja Gopis and their assistants and friends, right, what is his response to that? Does he say, oh, I want to be one of them? What they're doing? Yeah, oh, I also want to do that. This is the highest thing. This is for me. Right? Uddhava, no less than Uddhava, right? Like Brahma, Shiva, Sukha, Brahma, Shika, Jiva, Jaya, Virakshitam, Sukha, Shiva, Brahma, Samanitam. That Brahma, Sukha, and Shiva, they're aspiring for some connection with this plane. So no less than Uddhava says, if I could have an atomic presence in that plane, then some of the dust from their holy lotus feet, if I was in the soil like a creeper, and they're moving in the plane of service to Krishna, some of the dust from their holy lotus feet would come upon my head, thereby consecrating my existence. That's an appropriate response. Mahaprabhu in the Shikshastakam, or is it Soka? About na ayi nanda tununja kinkaram patitam maam vishame bhavam budhau kripaya tavapara pankaja stitam sadrushim duli sadrushim vichintaya duli padadu again means dust of the lotus feet. Mahaprabhu is saying an atomic presence in that plane, that's my aspiration, right? That's from Mahaprabhu, who's echoing the sentiments of Radharani. Hari paranaka koti prishta parjanta simha tatam api kalyantim praner bhista doham. Rupa Goswami in the Radhastikam praising Radharani, saying, like, if we say the in general, the lotus feet are the least aspect. Like, so many times we're like, why all this talk about feet? Lotus feet, touching the feet, bowing to the feet. What is this? representationally, other than it being, you know, actual genuine spiritual substance, on a representational level, on a symbolic level, that means the lowest aspect, right? This is what is thematically consistent, right? A creeper in the soil, Mahaprabhu, a particle of dust at your lotus feet, always. So it means if you are adjusted properly and you're approaching that plane, Bande Guroshi Charanaravindam, Adishmitish Chach Charanaravinde, right? If you're in the proper frame of mind, heart, soul, consciousness, then you'll make your approach toward the least aspect. That's why the feet are mentioned repeatedly and consistently. Right? And what are you offering? The highest aspect of yourself to the lowest aspect of that plane. That is indicative of proper adjustment, perspective, vision, etc. I will offer the highest aspect of myself to the least aspect of that plane. I think, oh, that's just for the neophytes, right? No. In the Radhastakam of Rupa Goswami in the first loka, he takes this principle and applies it to Srimati Radharani to the nth degree, to an infinite degree, by saying, by making it even more precise and more extreme. So if the lotus feet are the lowest, then we could say, for the sake of analysis, well, of the feet, what would be the lowest part? Because now that we've gone to that region, then what's the least aspect of the feet would be? The nails, right? Hariparanaka. That's what we could say. Well, this is insane. This is crazy. It's written by Rupa Goswami to teach us something. So he begins this thought. Hariparanaka. The nails of the lotus feet of Krishna. Hariparanaka koti prishta parjanta simha. That Srimati Pranayarabhishtam Radharani, she thinks that the least aspect of Krishna's lotus feet, the nails, are millions of times greater than the highest aspect of herself, her very prana, her life, multiplied millions of times. That's how she thinks. She's the supreme devotee, the supreme servitor. You speak of these things. Rupa, this leader of the juniors, is pointing this out about her mentality, that she thinks the least aspect of Krishna is of infinite greater magnitude than the highest aspect of herself, magnified millions of times. That's the right perspective. That's what's echoed in the statements of Uddhava. Even Brahma, tadburi bhagyam iha janma kim apyatavyam yad gokulepi, etc. Uddhava is more specific. Brahma is saying Vrindavan and the Brijbasis, but Uddhava is saying the Brajagopis. So they are so inconceivably high. We want to worship them and approach understanding of them with the greatest caution and the greatest faithfulness and accuracy and representation, as we've heard from our Guru Varga. Right? So that means that there are appropriate times for that discussion and inappropriate times. We cannot casually enter into those discussions. Srila Guru Maharaj, by his divine grace, expressed these things in a small circle, realizing all along it was very high, and almost asking forgiveness for expressing these things. Same thing as he heard from his Gurudev, Srila Saraswati Thakur. That he said, we got the impression sometimes he's speaking about these things to those who were apparently undeserved of hearing. So, back to that 10th canto, after the 9 cantos, then it begins with the birth of Krishna, is Kumar Lila with his parents, gradually to his friends. There's even there, there's a gradual evolution to the point of expressing certain aspects of the divine loving pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Krishna and the Braja Gopis. And I remember being in Govardhan, and Shruta Shrava Prabhu, Vaishnava Maharaj, and I went to get a little desk in town. And while we were there, there was some big poster of Radha and Krishna at the furniture seller's place. And we were negotiating for the desk, and we said, oh, we'd like to include that poster. So he went, oh, okay. He rolled up the poster, we went back, we showed Gurudev the desk. But when we rolled out the poster, and it's a very, from an artistic point of view, you can say, a chaste poster. They're not embracing, there's nothing intimate going on in the picture. But when we rolled it out and showed it to Gurudev, he said, Maharaj, we are afraid of these things. And I thought, what? This is a very normal, from an external point of view, a very normal looking picture. Not on a swing, not holding, nothing like that. And Gurudev, he said, we are afraid of that. That's how much reverence he had for these things. So only when it will come down, it wants to express itself, the infinite wants to reveal itself to the finite, then at that time, we will bow our heads. But otherwise, out of our own curiosity, we're not approaching those things because we only want to hear that from our Guru Varga, and when it is expressing itself, that is the key. Is Krishna revealing this? Is Srimati Radharani, Guru is saying, faith is at the halo of Radharani. Is it her wish to reveal these things? It's mentioned in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, and that the preferred method of revelation is inference. To infer, to imply, to point to something. There's a reason for that. We say, well, why aren't the Vedas clearly indicating this, that, and the other thing? Because it's so likely to be misunderstood. So there is a gradual approach to understanding these things. We have the good fortune of daily reading the Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam. Guru Maharaj says of it, there, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has presented Madhura Rasa so perfectly that it cannot be misunderstood. And then he adds, and still it is misunderstood. So he said, he's presented it so perfectly. Even these higher books, Ujjvala Nilamani, this book, the other book, certain slokas he's giving from these higher books, we're told not to study the details of, to bring you into that plane of understanding. He knows very perfectly, he's also of the Manjari class, Krishnadas Kaviraj. He knows perfectly, selecting this one, that one, and giving some exposure. And Guru Maharaj said, in such a way that you can't misunderstand it. And still, it is misunderstood, right? Gurudev went so far as to say about certain things, he said, Guru Maharaj's opinion is, even if you're qualified, you shouldn't do it. Not about who's qualified, only qualified people. He said, Guru Maharaj's opinion is, even if you're qualified, you shouldn't culture these things. That's what's coming down from Saraswati Thakur and others. It's not a thing of this world. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So what we want doesn't exist in this world. And we're told, if you had connection with this divine substance, what's way of analyzing whether or not the connection was real or not? in the absence of connection with that, you would die. So if you're alive, then you must not have had connection with it. That comes from Mahaprabhu and Radharani. They say that. We say, well, that's really fanatical. That's impossible. That's what Radharani says. Na prema gandasti drapi mehuro. That's what Mahaprabhu says. Krishna prema is so high, so inconceivably wonderful, that once coming in connection with it, any sort of separation will result in death. So what's the proof that I don't have Krishna prema? I'm alive. I go on living. What's the proof that we don't have substantial feelings about Krishna consciousness? Is it doesn't bother us that we're separated from Krishna. We go on day after day with our lives this way and that way, distracted by so many things. We're not disturbed by the fact that we're separated from Krishna. This is our Durdeva Vilas, our misfortune. Right? So by hearing in the proper way from Krishna's devotees and authentic scriptures, gradually it will awaken some genuine interest, beyond curiosity, some genuine interest in our hearts to hear more. But as it is given, without pressing or trying to prematurely enter something that is beyond our grasp. We're told Raghunath Das Goswami is the Prayojan Tattva Acharya. And he has one work called the Bilapa Kusumanjali, which begins with a pranam to Sri Rupa. But there, one of Srila Guru Maharaj's favorite verses, the quote from there is, Dashayate mama rasastu rasastu satyam sakayame mama namostu namostu nityam. Here are the two keywords, dasya and sakya. And in this sense, sakya means intimate connection. Like Pujala Ragapat, Gaurava Mange. That is worshipable to me. He said, my focus is on dasya. That's where I always put my focus. Again, consistent with Uddhava and the others. The least aspect of seva. The way Rupa Goswami is praising Radharani, the aspiration of Brahma, the aspiration of Shiva, Sukha, and Uddhava. So there must be a connecting thread through all these things. We find that those who have some actual knowledge of these things are cautious to the extreme in dealing with these subject matters. Cautious to the extreme. Right? As Srila Guru Maharaj mentions, well, even the in this world, people are discreet about such relationships. So what to speak of the spiritual domain? So it's with the utmost discretion. How much that Sukadeva Goswami does not mention the holy name of Srimati Radharani in the Bhagavatam. In those 18,000 slokas, in a book that is ostensibly about achieving the service of her holy lotus feet, he doesn't mention her name. Think about that. That contradicts how we think, no, you should tell everyone. No, the expert decided not to. And who is his audience? The greatest sages of the universe, of all the different types of spiritual practices, theistic traditions, they're the audience. And what is he thinking? They're not qualified to hear the details of these things. So he speaks in a nebulous way. Then one gopi said this, another gopi said that. That's all he says. He doesn't say who they are. We know in the Bhagavad Arka Marichimala of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and perhaps quoting Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur's Sararta Deepika Teek, that he'll say, where it says, one gopi said this, That is this one. Vishwanath, that's his specialty, is to supply some of these details. But in the original, it doesn't say that. And different reasons are given for that. One is, it's so confidential. So Guru Maharaj wrote a famous sloka in his introduction to the Bhagavad Arkamarichyamala, where he was going to further distill to maybe 300 slokas. But he wrote, Yadamiyam mahima sri bhagavatyam katayam pratipatam anubhutam apya labdavideya tadakila rasa lila tadakila rasa murti shama lila avalambam madura rasa di sri radha pada padmam prapadye. He gets to the heart of the matter here. He's saying, Yadamiya mahima sri mahima, the glories of the Bhagavatam, mahima sri Bhagavatam katayam, are really about the glories of Radharani, the person who's not mentioned. That's the secret of this book. We're told in the beginning, near Matsarajam, it's all being non-envious of devotees, particularly of her. She's the supreme devotee. That's why we dismiss Mira Bai and others, because they don't give proper recognition to Radharani and her friends and assistants. Right? So we're told in the beginning, you can't enter into the mysteries of Krishna conception if you're envious of his devotees, what to speak of the supreme devotee. Right? So Guru Maharaj says, although her name is not mentioned, at every step of the way, it's meant to take you in the direction of the service of her holy lotus feet, of which the Shyamalila Avalambam, the whole Madhura Rasa, is dependent upon her. Janmadyasya Yataha. Everything is springing from that. All the other rasas are clients. Madhura Rasa is the original. All other rasas are satellites. Madhura Rasa is the original, and of the two, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So that means Parakiya Rasa is the origin of everything. This is a mystery that's being revealed in the pastimes of Sri Krishna and at the heart of the matter of Krishna conception. So he's saying, but still her name is not mentioned, only inferred. Aradita, Anaya Radita Nunam Bhagavan Hira Ishvara. Who stole Krishna away? The one who worshipped him better than everyone else. So her name is hidden in there. Anaya, then Aradita. Radha, Aradhana, means the process of worship. Her process of worshipping is giving herself, offering herself, saying, that one, she's the one who had her service was so strong and irresistible that all attractive Krishna was irresistibly drawn, an attraction to her, canceling a trillion other gopis. That's how it's dealt with. So that's to, that should be sufficient for us to say, oh, this is inconceivable. And how inconceivably qualified this person must be. And her Lalita Vishaka Ruparati, her friends, and how inconceivably qualified they must be. And that we have the opportunity, by the grace of our Guru Varga and the Bhaktivinoda Paribar, the line of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Saraswati Thakur, and Chaitanya Saraswata, that we have some opportunity to serve that plane, that should be enough for us to know that prospect, that possibility. So I say these things in this way because it's how I've heard from Guru Maharaj as well. Don't think I didn't ask him many questions. And sometimes he's tolerating my question to a point, and then he'd say, stop, you're going to break your head. He said, you know, too much analysis creates doubt. Doubt disturbs faith. Faith is our only access to these things. So we're happy when something is little is revealed to us. That's more than enough. If you can remain like that, then you can become qualified to hear more. They see, they're not eager to distribute the secret for self-aggrandizement, for pratishta, to make everyone think, this person is so advanced. They know so many intimate details about the pastimes or the confidential books. No. Gurudev is concealing himself. Guru Maharaj is concealing himself. Saraswati Thakur, where we're told, if some spiritual emotion comes to him, he's wiping away any tears, suppressing anything, not showing anything. Because then, as Mahaprabhu said, Krandami so bhagya baram prakashitam. You say you don't have Krishna Prem, you don't have a scent of the fragrance of Krishna Prem, what to speak of a drop, but we see it looks like the Ganga's coming out of your eyes. What does Mahaprabhu say? That is to deceive people into thinking I have Krishna Prem. I crave the fame of being a devotee. Right? It's actually worse then wanting to be famous in this world is to want to be famous as a devotee. Think about that. Why? Because when it comes to reality, there is no greater fame. The greatest fame there is to be a reputed devotee of Krishna, a genuine devotee of Krishna, a pure devotee of Krishna. There's no greater fame than that. That person, what do we say? Ebe jash gushuk tribhuvan. In the song, your glories are spread throughout the three worlds. That person will be celebrated in Svargaloka, in the heavenly planet. They'll be celebrated in the Goloka, in the Vaikuntha world, in the Goloka world. There's no greater fame than that. So to try to cheaply, what does he say? Tumikishe kevala kaitava pratishtaratari nirjanera gari tavaharinam kevala kaitava. Saraswati Thakur wrote a famous song. It has some harsh, offensive words in it, what he says. Compares pratishta to. He said, why are you trying to show yourself as a devotee in the world? Taking so many names of Krishna, nam and seclusion, talking about so many high things. Why? He said, this pratishta, pratishtaratari niyujanaragori tavahari. He said, so what you're doing is just kevala koitava. It's cheating. Dharmak prochitavaitabhocha paramo nirmatsaranam satam. What was eliminated in the beginning pages of the Bhagavatam. So rather we find the genuine devotees, they're concealing their position. Pundarik Vidyanidhi is concealing his position. Bhangshidas Babaji is concealing his position. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Saraswati Thakur, our Guru Varga, they're concealing their exalted level of achievement. They also don't, they because they do have something and they know it's real and substantial, it can be withdrawn at any time, they're not going to tell anyone about that. They know if it turns into ego assertion, pratishta, it will vanish from you. So our Guru Varga is so cautious about these subject matters, and we should observe those same parameters and those same cautions if we want to come in connection with these things substantially. Gurudev liked to quote this Bengali quote, who cannot catch a garter snake? Understand? Wants to catch a cobra, king cobra. Garter snake means, your non-poisonous generic snake. Who cannot catch that snake wants to capture a cobra, king cobra. I've told this sometimes when One girl was asking Gurudev about Siddha Pranali, the practices of liberated souls. But at one point, Gurudev said, can you make off the light there? And she went, and like, there's like, in India, there's like 12 switches on the ones, you're like, the fan's going, the TV, you know, like, everything's go on, off, then finally, the light goes out, you know. And she's like this. And Gurudev said, one who cannot turn off a light should not ask about Siddha Pranali. Like, what will you do in that plane? You know. So, we're protecting this. It's the most valuable thing. So it's in a vault. We're protecting it. Our guru varga, jiva dyeya virakshitam, jiva ba, they're protecting. Saraswati Thakur, shi jiva tejastiti. That's why it's still alive. Because they're protecting it from cheapening, counterfeiting, adulteration, modification. We know the story of the, you know, when the people started entering India from Middle Eastern countries, you know, they have like dates, figs, nuts, we know what those sweets are. Then the envoy, the ambassador from the king would say, you won't believe some of the fruits they have there. Like we have here, you know, mangoes. And he's always telling me about mangoes. And the king's getting so, like, then bring me some mangoes. He goes, well, I try. But, you know, it took a long time to travel between India and the Middle East at that time. He said, they all rot halfway here. So he said, oh, but I very much want to taste the mango, hearing your description. So he said, oh, I have an idea, you know. Take some tamarind and some turmeric and some honey and different concoction, puts in a bowl. Then because the mango has some strength, you know, he takes his beard, puts that like that, and he tells the king, here, suck my beard. And the king's going, and he goes, this is mango? Yes, that is mango. He goes, now you know what is mango. So, there's this divine fruit, Krishna Prem, above. We say, oh, I am so eager for that. But if you try to, that's what Pujala Ragapat Gaurava Bhanga, I mean, if you try to take it down from that plane by description, whatever it may be, right, halfway it becomes rotten and turns into something else along the way. But then you've got people here ready to take the ingredients of this world and have you taste that and tell you that it's divine substance. We want to avoid that like the plague. Right, Saraswati, when some Sahajya guru came to see Bhaktivinoda Thakur, two chairs were drawn. And while they're talking, that Sahajya notices Saraswati Thakur 100 hands away, 100 feet, whatever you want, you know, a great distance away. And he said, why does that boy give his dandavats from such a distance? He should come near to you, give dandavats, and then go. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, oh, him. He has a vow that he won't come within 100 feet of a sahajya, and he saw you. So, at least two things we learn from this. One is, why isn't Bhaktivinoda Thakur keeping 100 feet? Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur is not going to be degraded by this man and his misconceptions. If anything, there's some hope for that man to be elevated. Then actually, neither will Saraswati Thakur be polluted by him. But Saraswati Thakur, Guru Dham, Granthadham, Gauradham, Namadham, he's the guru, the teacher of us all, that Saraswati Thakur is giving the world, he's showing by example, do not come near to these things. The humanness of the interaction will make you ripe for this type of pollution. So you can't mix with them. keep a distance. Right. So many things he's showing. Not to attack, but to keep a distance. When confidential thing, he went to visit a childhood friend in Vrindavan, like pay a visit, a courtesy call. When he got there, they were having a reading and discussion of the five chapters of the Rasalila. So Saraswati Thakur bowed his head and started to walk away, and the man said, "Oh, you've come, the best part. Don't go now." And Saraswati Thakur, he didn't attack them or argue with them. He said, "Oh, my Gurudev has forbidden me to hear these things, that I'll be offensive. So I need to follow the advice of my Gurudev. He's told I should not approach this. So thank you very much, but I must go now." That's how he, that type of respect. Through inversion, we can understand this is the qualified person. We only want to hear from them. And I know you're only saying about what Guru Maharaj said, but there are appropriate times and inappropriate times. Sometimes that may come, may descend for expression. Otherwise, we're content with the general tenor of what is being given to us by our Guru Varga. Hare Krishna.